Compass FM, North Canterbury's community radio station. Joining me in the studio this morning, Pat Duggan, ex-service member from New Zealand Army. Pat, is that right?
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Welcome into Compass FM, buddy.
Thanks, Kerry.
I had Matt Ducey in here earlier on this morning, and I'm more nervous about this chat that you and I are going to have than what I was with a Minister of the Crown.
Worry not, mate. I'm user-friendly.
Oh, thank goodness for that, because, oh, gee whiz, the hands are shaking and all sorts of things. Pat, let's just have a bit of a chat about your service period. You went to Vietnam, is that right?
Yes, I did twice, yep.
You served two tours?
I served two tours. I went back a third time when TVNZ shouted me a trip. But
They had some money then?
I've never paid for any of my trips to Vietnam.
Hey, that's actually, it's a relatively interesting way that you looked at it. So we're talking about the 60s here, yeah?
Yep.
It was a totally different time, wasn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, the flower power, the whole nine yards, the protest movement, and Vietnam was a topic that was in everybody's lounge every night on the news.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, Kerry, we shouldn't have been there in the first place, mate.
Yeah.
We really shouldn't have. It was a waste of time, a waste of money, a waste of lots of lives.
I am a wee bit younger than you, so I saw a lot of this on TV myself. But, you know, and then you see movies, Platoon, Good Morning Vietnam, that sort of stuff. It was nasty.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Nasty.
Well, no war is nice.
Yeah.
There's no two words about it.
Are you a pacifist now?
I guess you could call every serviceman who's been in action a bit of a pacifist, because deep down inside, they don't want anybody in their family to follow the same route.
To do exactly what you were exposed to.
Exactly.
Oh, are there any other members of service personnel in your family?
My father was a serviceman.
Yeah. He went to war?
Yes, he did. He saw World War II with 7th Anti Tank. And when I went to Vietnam, my first trip was 1966.
Yeah.
When I came back in 1967, the first thing Dad says was, "You and I got to join you up in the RSA, mate."
I'm a member of the RSA.
Oh, good on you.
I'm a member of the RSA.
Yeah, cool.
I think that's just an incredibly easy way of supporting returned servicemen, and in particular what the Rangiora RSA does. Not the Oxford and the Kaiapoi one, but an amazing service, what they do
there. Great organisation, and well run too.
Okay, so we can just touch briefly. The closest that my family has got was my brother, I think, went to the recruiting office, but he turned left and entered the public bar and his mate ended up in Vietnam. That's the closest that I've, or our family has got to serving overseas. So thank you for your service.
I guess that's something I should have said
right at the very, very start. There's been a major change in war in the Southeast Asia and other bits and pieces. It was nasty in the 60s. You've been back recently. What's it like over in Vietnam?
Oh, well, the last time I went back was in 2008, actually. The TVNZ wanted to interview me, and they rang me up and said, "We'd like to talk to you, and bring your passport, because you're going to Vietnam." And they took me over there for 4 days, and it was the whole country transformed.
That's what I'm interested in, because
the little villages we used to drive through in armed convoys were now peaceful, and roads are well paved, and the streets are looking nice, and everything's cleaned up nicely. And Kerry, to be honest with you, mate, you've got to go there for the food alone. It's to die for.
Absolutely brilliant. I must admit that it is sort of on a list of mine that I would like to visit, and in particular the tunnels.
Yes.
Have you ever been into the tunnels?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay.
I'm a bit claustrophobic when it comes to that sort of thing, so I kind of avoid those sort of things if I can help it.
Good on you. New Zealand service personnel that went to Vietnam, there was seriously a confrontation. There was plenty of, I'm using the term action, but I don't really want to do that.
No, yeah.
But we were more of a support to the Aussies and the Americans as far as artillery is concerned, is that right?
Well, artillery supports all the infantry. Whenever the infantry gets into a spotted bubble, then they call the artillery support. We're the guys that provide it.
Were you in the artillery?
Yes, I was.
Okay.
My first tour I did as a forward observer signaller, so I was actually patrolling with the infantry.
Yes.
And when they got into trouble, we were calling in the fire to support them.
You knew exactly where you were on a map, right?
Yes, I did.
Yep. So it's all in a grid, and you go back, "I need something in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, do it now."
Yeah, exactly.
And that's how it happened?
Exactly how it happened, And it was you had to get the rounds on the ground very quickly and accurately.
Yeah. Oh, mate.
And in most cases, New Zealand artillery was well respected as support. both by the Americans and the Australians.
Okay. Yeah. And that's pretty much a reputation that the New Zealand military still holds.
Still got today. And you know, I look at the soldiers and the airmen and the sailors of today, and I have total respect for them. They really are. I mean, it's a peacetime army right now, but and to maintain it is quite a challenge.
Yes. A peacetime army that we have, but there is plenty of wartime armies at the moment, plenty of saber-rattling worldwide. How does that make you feel?
Sad, because people have not learned by their mistakes, and we're doomed to repeat them again. It's an old cliche, I know, but it's true.
Yeah.
I would be really sad if New Zealand got involved in another war such as Vietnam or Malaya or Korea or Bosnia or
Afghanistan.
Yeah, you name it.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, look, this is a very special subject, and Pat, I appreciate you coming in here to talk to us about your experience yourself. You're a friend of Compass. You've been here a couple of times
before. I've been here a couple of times.
You're more relaxed in this conversation than what I am. That's fantastic. What are you going to be doing for Anzac Day?
I'm the parade commander here for Rangiora. Mm-hmm. The parade steps off at 11:15 for an 11:30 start at the memorial. The form-up is behind the Toyota Rangiora there. The road between that and the farmers.
Mm-hmm.
People want to join the parade, that's fine. Just follow the noise and follow the people. I'll be the one yelling. It's the only time my wife lets me yell every year.
Really? Is that right? But good on you, missus. That's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to be leading the parade, is that right?
Yes, I'll be the parade commander. Yes, okay. I'll be marching around there and then bringing them back again at the end of that. I did it for 30 years in Christchurch, and then I moved out to Rangiora, and I've been out here since 2017.
Yeah.
And I've done it every year since then out here. COVID. Pat,
bless you, mate. That's absolutely brilliant. Okay, so after the parade, 11:15, then it's all towards the RSA.
RSA, yeah, and there'll be a section set aside for veterans. We get together and enlarge on those stories that we were telling last year.
Yeah.
And with a good laugh.
It was a wee bit more. It was a wee bit sunnier. It was a wee bit wetter.
But yeah, it's amazing how when you get these conversations, how people can turn a sad event into something with, oh, remember when such and such happened? Oh, yeah, and so on. So here.
Isn't it bizarre that in negative situations it can be humour found?
Yep.
It is, I guess, black humour?
Yeah. Oh, it is black humour, very much so. Yeah.
And I guess some of the personnel that I have, anything to do with now, like in police, there's a lot of black humour police and that sort of thing. Have you caught up with the story that was in the North Canterbury News about Nicola McGrath here in North Canterbury, who's looking after the RSA graves, actually?
Oh, yes, yeah.
Polishing them up and looking after them.
Yeah, I just saw it. Yeah, great.
Absolutely. Lovely. We're going to have a chat with Nicola on Monday.
Yeah. Good on her. All respect to her for that. Because it's an area, well, any grave needs attending to, and there's so many throughout New Zealand, so many forgotten veterans buried in cemeteries throughout New Zealand.
It is remarkably everywhere. Every town has got a cenotaph for some or a memorial. So will there be any action around at the cenotaph here in corner of High Street, Ashley Street, just around over here now? Yeah. On Anzac Day next week, that's where a lot of the wreaths will be.
That's where it all happens. In the past, since 2017, I've noticed the crowds are getting bigger. They really are, and it's huge now. And
apart from one year when everyone was at their letterbox, do you remember that?
Oh, yes, that was COVID. Yeah, and we had in our street, we had a stand at your letterbox, and just pretty much the whole street turned out.
I was standing at my letterbox at 6 o'clock that morning too, and it was, the hairs of my arm are standing up right now because it was incredibly special, an incredibly unique Anzac Day, and we all still came together. Yeah. And you're right, the crowd seemed to be increasing, because back in the 70s, the 80s, it was a wee bit quiet there for a while, wasn't it?
We still had a wee bit of the protest movement, and the occasional Anzac Day parade was upset by protesters, and you've got to give them their right to protest, but hey, please don't do it at a war memorial. Protest, that's your right. Do it out in the street, but don't interfere with a ceremony of remembrance.
No, that's very disrespectful if you ask me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, Pat, look, Pat, you're wonderful man to come on and have a bit of a chat to us. And I hope that this chat has justified the time that we're put into it, mate.
Terry, I'll do you a favour, mate. I wrote a book about my time in Vietnam. I'll drop you off a copy.
Please do.
Yeah, I'll even sign it for you if you like.
I would have it and read it in a heartbeat. Pat, I really appreciate that. Now, you're going to be wandering around some schools in North Canterbury and have a wee bit of a chat about your experiences.
Yes,
maybe not now, but a wee bit later on this year.
Yeah. In June, my granddaughter approached me and said her teacher was very interested in talking to me and having me come and talk to the class. So I said, yeah, no problem at all. I enjoy it. Year 12.
Yep.
And I've done a few in Christchurch, some of the bigger high schools there, all to the year 12 history classes.
Yeah.
And it amazes me the depth of knowledge these boys and girls have. These young people have. They really do. It's amazing. And there's never a stupid question like, did you kill anyone?
Yeah.
It was, you know, it's about our involvement in a war that we should have never been involved in.
Yeah, yeah. Like, did they ask about what you ate?
No.
And what did you eat?
Oh, American rations.
Really?
Yeah, rubbish.
Yeah. Oh, well, when Klinger served it up in the Korean War, it looked like rubbish to me as well, yeah, just between you and me on
probably the same rations.
Pat, I appreciate the time that you've come in, that you spent coming into Compass FM. We'll keep a close eye on you, mate, because you're a wonderful man. You represent a time in our history that was pretty volatile.
Yep.
And thank you for your service. Thank your father for his service as well. And bless you on Thursday next week.
Cheers, Kerry.
Pat Duggan from the Ringer RSA.
Compass FM.